Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I started attending LMC at the age of 15 when I was in year 10 with my mum. However, I'd been a part of the LMC program since I was 10 years old. With no connection to Oxley except my best friend and neighbour across the road who attended Oxley in primary school, suddenly I would always go over and play with her after school. Suddenly, as the new year began, she was never home on a Friday night after school. I'd go to her house and knock on the door, and she was never there. It had come to me that she was at some after-school program here on the grounds of LMC. She'd gone into grade 3, which made her eligible to go to Kids Club. As soon as I found out that she was at Kids Club, being the girl that wanted to be involved in everything, I convinced my parents to take me down. So I guess that's just an encouragement for parents not to underestimate the influence that your kids can have on other kids, even just a neighbour across the road. Since joining Kids Club with my neighbour, I have been there every Friday night from the age of 10, followed on to youth in year 7, and now I'm in my 5th year of being a youth leader. And it's just awesome to hang out with these guys on a Friday night, these kids, and it is just such a blessing. And that brings me to my message. My message tonight is about God's blessings, and do you want God's blessings in your life? A simple question, and with a simple answer, but it's how we receive it that can be the tough part. So, the dictionary defines blessings as an approval that allows or helps you to do something, something that helps you or brings you happiness. And the definition that I really like to have is to have God's favour and protection. Psalm 5:12 says, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous and you surround them with your favour as a shield," the shield being protection. So he surrounds us with his favour and protection. Those of you who have accepted God as your Lord and Saviour are righteous. There is no need to question or doubt it or ask, am I righteous? If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour, it is that simple in God's eyes that you are righteous. You then, therefore, have God's favour and protection on your life, God's blessings. Wow, isn't that such an awesome thing? However, so often we fail to recognise God's favour and his blessings on our lives. How often do you find yourself, and I was picked up on this just the other day, but how often do you find yourself saying, oh, I was lucky this happened, or it was such a coincidence that this happened, and it was perfect timing that that happened when that happened, and you fail to recognise that it's actually God's blessings, it's God's timing, not the coincidence, not I'm lucky, not it was perfect timing, it was God's blessing that those things happened. Last year, Daniel and I, as I've mentioned, got married in February. We had no house, Daniel had no job, and I still had a year at university to go. Many people would have waited until both people getting married had finished university and had secure jobs. However, God had different plans for us. We had God's peace that it was our time to get married and that he would provide for us. So the wedding was approaching and we were 4 months away from being married. Daniel had no job, we couldn't buy a house, and we needed to start planning beyond our honeymoon. Honeymoons don't last forever. Suddenly, God dropped a thought into my head. Why not house sitting? I, for some unknown reason, when I was 19, decided to start house sitting. I registered, I hopped on a site, and I registered. No reason, I just decided to hop on a website and register. And a family contacted me, and I house sat for them for 3 years in Ringwood East whenever they were on holidays, and that led to several other house sitting gigs. Not knowing back then how that would affect me and Daniel today and last year. So I thought, well, why not, or God put the thought in my head, why not house sit? You have no house, you have no job, why not house sit? So I didn't mention it to Daniel initially, but I jumped online and looked what was out there. And I found a 3-month house sit in Croydon that started a month after we got back from our honeymoon. So I mentioned it to Daniel, thinking, oh, what would our parents think if we were to live in someone else's house and all that sort of stuff. But we decided to go through the interview process and we got the job. Well, we got the house sitting job. Thanking thankful to the house sits that I did when I was 19 years old. If I hadn't have just jumped online and wanted to be independent and gone and house sat when I was 19, we wouldn't have had the great references that got us the house sitting gig for when we got married. And I think, looking back, that that's just God blessing my future. And I can see how God worked in me. No idea why I house sat when I was 19, but I can see how God's worked that and blessed that into our first year of marriage. Where am I? So once we got that house sitting gig, we still had a month in between when we got back from our honeymoon and when we started that house sit in Croydon. And a couple of days after we got the house sit in Croydon, or found out we got it, I spoke to Nick, and she told me that her and Aaron were going away overseas for a month, and that month just happened to be the month that we had available between the end of our honeymoon and our first house sit. So I kindly asked Nicole, would you mind if we house sat your house? And knowing Nicole, of course, her and Aaron let us stay there. Another blessing that just happened to slot in so nicely. It's not that we were lucky, and it's not a coincidence. It's God's blessing and favour and protection over us. So I want to bring up Psalm 67, and this is what I'll base most of my message on tonight. So this is a psalm about blessings. Yep. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. So the first two verses there, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations, is my first point tonight. It's about receiving God's grace and seeking God's blessing in your life. So Matthew 6:33 says, but first seek the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We need to accept God's grace in our life. Grace means that we get blessings that we actually don't deserve. We can't earn grace. We deserve God's judgment for our sins. However, God sent his Son, his perfect, gracious gift, to die for us so that our sins were forgiven and we could have eternal life. The Christian life from beginning to end, from birth to death, relies on that gracious gift that God gave. So we first received Christ because of God's grace, and now we walk in God's grace. One of the most powerful parts of being a leader in our youth is seeing our kids being saved and witnessing our kids come to know Christ as their Lord and Saviour and accept that gift of grace. And then following that, being able to teach them that they don't actually have to earn that grace, that now they can just live in God's blessings through his love for them, that doesn't matter what good deed they do. So we have grace so we can enjoy God's blessings. God also blesses people by giving riches and meeting their needs. His greatest blessing is forgiveness of sins. Romans 4:7 to 8 says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. God has all the blessings and goodness, and he wants them to give them to us. He asks us to desire them. In Matthew 7:7-8, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find it, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who knocks, who he seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Seek God's blessing in your life and know that you deserve it through his grace. Verse 3-5, may the people of Psalm 67, may the people praise you, God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God, may all the peoples praise you. My second point is thank God for his blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances for his will in Christ. He's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And man, that's hard. expressing our thanks to God is hard because often we forget to even thank. We fail to sometimes recognize the blessings, and therefore how can we thank him when we don't recognize the blessings? Being thankful compels us to fix our eyes on God rather than on ourselves. It humbles you. It lifts your mind off your troubles and your anxieties and reminds you that God will always provide for your needs. And Romans 8:28 says, "For those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We all go through ups and downs, like the valley that Nick was talking about today. And it's in those valleys that Nick said you've still got to celebrate the small victories. And I think in those victories, we've got to remember to thank God because he's still blessing us in that valley. And sometimes it's harder for us to see it because we're in the valley, but his blessings are still there and we need to celebrate and thank him for those victories. Back to our house sits. We ended up house sitting for that Croydon one. And halfway through the Croydon one, we were getting towards the end. We thought, oh, maybe we'll start renting after this Croydon one in July. But I was looking on the house sitting website and another house sit came up. Only a 1 month one in Yallingbo, so a bit far out. Yallingbo is like Warialik. But we said if God wants it, he'll make it work for us. So we applied. Unbeknown to me, it was a family. It was actually, for those of you who know Matt Vincent, it was his sister. And so he recognised the famous Gashk surname because they came to Oxley. And we got the house sit. So another month we were blessed with. And we were in Yallingbo. And another one came up, another house sit came up on a website. But it was for November and January. And we were very unsure whether to apply for it because what would we do between August and November? So we rang up our parents-in-laws and my parent-in-law, Daniel's mum and dad, and they were happy to have us for that time in between August and November. So we applied for the November house sit and we said, look, if God wants it, he'll provide for us in the 4 months that we have nothing. So we went to the interview, got a call, and we got the house sit. So we were coming to the end of the July house sit in Yallingbo, and 3 weeks left and we had nowhere to live between August and November, except of course our parents-in-law. So a little bit upset. We're like, oh, it'd be nice to still just be living independently and all that sort of stuff. And then suddenly this family just... this couple in Ringwood put up their house for exactly August to November. And we were like, okay, let's apply. They were leaving it thin because they were leaving in 2 weeks and they only just put their house up. And 1 week before they left, they told us that we got the house sit. So we had somewhere to live for a whole 12 months. And I think that is something to thank God for. No matter what time it was in the year, we were able to thank God and know that he was blessing us in providing for us in terms of our house. Psalm 9:1 says, "I give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds." Being thankful lifts your spirits. And if you look back on your life, you have your family, your house, your car, your job, your school, your church, your youth group, your friends, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sisters. Your life is full of those blessings. And not only that, from those blessings come more, a fountain of God's blessings in terms of celebrations, memories, laughter, and fun times. If we don't deserve God's grace, but still get his blessings, then how much more does God deserve our thanks? Verse 6 in Psalm 67 says, "The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us." So my third point is live an abundant life through his blessings. John 10:10 says, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly." Often people associate Christianity with, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't go there, I can't go here. And if that's our mindset, then we really need to adjust it, because what is it that you want from your life? Hopefully, as Christians, you want God's purpose for your life. And it's normal to be unsure about the future, unsure about tomorrow, but God doesn't ask us to walk alone. Galatians 5:16-24. I can have that up. We should know this one pretty well, but it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, not alone, but walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and indulgences, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things, this is the law. There is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The land yields its harvest. You reap what you sow. Our abundant life lives in these fruits. We can never be perfect in these fruits, but we can try our best, knowing that God has his grace and blessings there to help us. The land yields its harvest. If you want to yield those good fruits in your life, you need to recognize that God will help you and bless you if you are trying your best. This last year has caused Daniel and I to learn self-control with finances, patience in Daniel getting a job, faith that God will provide for us after this house sit, after the next house sit, and after the next house sit. However, in all of this, the easiest one was peace. Somehow we were always at peace that God would provide. And I think for Daniel and I, we know that through any troubles that may come in the years ahead, God has set a foundational year of marriage for us to look back on, that we can see God's favour and protections, his blessings on our marriage and our lives ahead. Verse 7, last point. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. We must fear God. Scripture is full of examples of how fearing God is a positive rather than a negative thing. For example, in Genesis, Joseph wins his brother's trust when he declares he is a God-fearing man. It says, "On the third day, Joseph said to them, 'Do this and you will live, for I fear God.'" In Exodus, it talks about the midwives not obeying their masters and sparing the Hebrew baby boys. Further on in Exodus, it talks about Pharaoh, who actually didn't fear God, and therefore disaster struck his nation. Moses, later on in Exodus, he chose his leaders to help him based that they feared God, and so that they wouldn't take bribes. It says, "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." And if you think this is only an Old Testament idea, note that Jesus states this stronger than anyone when he says, "Do not be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body." Matthew 10:28. And Paul says later on in 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates your body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence or fear for God." So it is clear that fearing God is good. And why is it good? Because it helps us from caving into our own sinful nature. It helps us into doing and bearing those fruits of the Spirit, living that abundant life that we can give thanks to God for the blessings that he has given us. Thank you.